You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Halaiva. You're listening to Kauai Community Radio. Big mahalo to Diamond and the Mischievous Mermaid Show. Great music. And really love tuning into that program. My name is Donovan Kanani Kabibi. I'll be sitting in for Auntie Nani Rogers. She's on a mission to Mauna Kea over the last week, so we'll touch base with her. Hopefully she'll be making her phone call into the station to give us an update about what's going on over there. And so you got it. You know what's up now, so you're going to have to just deal with me. Donovan Kanani Kabibi. This is Living Sovereign. Programs like Living Sovereign are made possible by listeners like you, in partnership with these fine underwriters, Kauai Coffee, Qingyang Village, and Kalaheo Chiro.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Tuning in, this is Donovan Kanani Kabibi, and you've got the Living Sovereign Show on Kauai Community Radio. And sitting in today in the hot seat for Auntie Nani Rogers. So, you know, Living Sovereign program. Auntie Nani is taking a break from the radio show this week. She's over on Mauna Kea, and real cool stuff coming at us from the site of Mauna Kea. What's going on over there? It's pretty incredible stuff happening. I myself am fresh off of a 10-day trip on the mountain. I went and did 5 days in a row, four or five days in a row, came back to Kauai, digested my experience, 2 days here, and the offer was extended to me to make a second trip for another week out there. And so I graciously accepted, and it was humbling for me to be of service to the Aloha Aina that are up there, the young Makua, the young guys who are at Checkpoint Aloha and holding the space up there, protecting our sacred space, Mauna Kea. Anyway, at the bottom of the mountain, there is an ahu, and just in front of the ahu is a pu'u. If you don't know what a pu'u is, a pu'u is a giant cinder cone. It's a big cinder cone, essentially, that springs up out of the ground. And anyway, this pu'u, Hulu Hulu, is the name of the pu'u that's there. So right there, as you make your right turn to ascend Mauna Kea, that's a great spot for you to stop and acclimate to the before making that 10-minute drive, almost 3,500 feet up to base camp altitude at 10,000 feet. You make the right turn there. If you turn left, you come into this parking lot, beautiful parking lot right at the foot of Pu'u Hulu Hulu, where some Kanaka Maoli have constructed a ahu. An ahu is a stone structure that is there, that's built, and it acts as a marker in reverence to various things. And this particular ahu was erected to honor the kupuna of our aina, past and present. It was erected to honor the spirits of our aina. So this site happens to be a very powerful site, very powerful location. It traditionally has been a place where Hawaiians would gather at the foot of this Pu'u Hulu Hulu, which is right exactly in the middle between Mauna Kea, the foot of Mauna Kea, and the foot of Mauna Loa. Saddle Road, or formerly Saddle Road, now known as Dan Inouye Highway, it goes down the middle of those two mountains, Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa. So Pu'u Hulu Hulu is located directly between these two peaks. So traditionally, it is a gathering place where Kanaka would camp out, acclimate, pay reverence to the spirits of both mountains. This was often recognized as the gateway to the godly realms, the Papalina realms, where gods and deities and aumakua were believed to exist in Hawaiian culture. And Tinani and the group that she is with over on the Big Island have taken on the mission of carrying plaques with the signatures of our Aloha Aina. The signatures are those of the people who signed the Ku'e petition. And so the signatures have particular significance because they belong to the people who signed the Ku'e petition, but more importantly, were residents of the Big Island during the time. And so they carry those signatures, the names of the Aloha Aina Hawaiian nationals who stood for their nation and placed their name on the petition to oppose annexation to the United States by the United States government. In doing so, the Hawaiian people had believed that they were preserving their claim and their right as a sovereign nation to the authority and resources of this aina, and not just of this aina, because the Hawaiian nation at that time believed all shores that touched the Pacific Ocean were within their jurisdiction and realm. So as they venture, Santinani and her group venture off to the Big Island with these signatures. Their mission was to place the plaques. They have these plaques that are about 6 or 7 inches, maybe 3-4 inches tall and about a foot wide. The signatures of those individuals who signed the Kuae petition, Big Island residents, on these plaques. They've placed them on the lava field in front of the Kupuna Ahu, and they held ceremony. And one of the missions connected to the action of placing these signatures about the Ahu to our Kupuna and our Aina spirits, the secondary mission was to introduce the Kupuna signatures to the descendants who are living today, and to give them the ability to reconnect with those Kupuna and to see for themselves with their own eyes these actual copies of these actual documents that have been discovered and resurfaced and brought to the attention of the people of Hawaii'i and the world by one of our modern day scholars, Noenoe Silva, whose ceaseless efforts have produced the critical evidence that has been being used to show proof that over 98% of the Hawaiian population, Hawaiian nationals, at the time of the overthrow of the Hawaiian kingdom, were in opposition to the actions that were being proposed by the provisional government who had taken over Hawaiian kingdom. So, they're doing that thing over there. And they're talking about all of the stuff that's going on. One of the greatest things that has, in my opinion, surfaced because of what's happening at the foot of Mauna Kea and at 10,000 foot level is this concept that they've brought to the world of Kapu Aloha. And it's a kind of a relatively new term and phrase that's being tossed around since this thing, but the concept that, in my opinion, has existed quite a long time. And maybe the phrase Kapu Aloha could be considered a new thing. The idea and the concept is not new. Our experts, culturally, traditionally, and to this present time, have exercised this concept of Kapu Aloha, which essentially, as it was explained to me during my time up there, is a commitment to uphold the highest standards of Pono and what it means to express aloha. So many definitions of what aloha is, and truly the only way to understand what aloha is to live it, to envelop your life within these concepts of aloha and Pono. Pono is the base foundation for what it is to live aloha. And Pono, essentially in the Hawaiian language, means to strive for balance or righteousness. The literal term translation means righteousness. So our deeper kauna attached to the word of Pono is to achieve balance with every aspect of life as we know it, not just with other people and within ourselves, but with the natural environment that we are blessed to live within. Hawaii is a very special place. We do have a very unique environment, and it's pretty much a fact, based on the various studies and information that's been compiled as long as folks have been writing about Hawaii, that the Hawaiian people were able to achieve a sense of balance unmatched, unparalleled with any other nation around the world. And particular note is that they were able to do this, able to produce food to an extent that far exceeded the needs of the population, enabling them to support themselves wholly and fully. So we keep establishing the value and strength of Hawaiian morals and Hawaiian ideas here in Hawaii. And we'd like to be able to take this concept of Kapu Aloha and elevate it to a level where we're sharing this thing with everyone around us and becoming the example of what it means to strive for a complete balance in righteousness with every single living entity on the world. It's hard not to embrace this concept when you see it being applied on the mountain and you witness the viral and infectious nature that has sprung up because of the actions that are being done on the mountain by these young Makua. And I call them young Makua because many of them are parents and they are up there with their entire ohana, and many of the active participants in the struggle that's going on up there to protect Mauna Kea, you know, they're between the ages of in the mid-20s and younger up to the early 30s. So young, real young. And I hear them saying that this thing, Mauna Kea, is actually this generation's. Every generation has a cause, a moment in history that defines who they are and what the actions for the next generation will be. This present generation, these Aloha Aina who are protecting Mauna Kea at the moment, this thing right now is equivalent to what Kaho'olawe was. And there's a misconception going on that the guys who are protecting Mauna Kea don't quite have a vision beyond Mauna Kea itself and the TMT. But I can personally attest to the fact that the attention that they're focusing on is much broader and much wider than that of the TMT and the telescope. They're not opposed to technology and the science that accompanies this telescope. It's the fact that complete and total disregard for the indigenous wisdom and the indigenous way of life and what the indigenous people of Hawaii revere, the fact that all the decisions that are being made regarding our sacred places and all of the resources here in Hawaii, not very often are the Kanaka Maoli community invited to be a part of the discussion. And so by partaking in the action that they're partaking in on the Mauna Kea, they've really pushed the envelope and opened the door for our people to finally be taken seriously, as we have seen this movement grow beyond our shores to become an international hot topic issue. Basically, we see on the mountain in the 10 days that I spent there, people from every single nationality, every single walk of life, every single economic level and trade coming to the mountain to talk and ask what's really going on. Why are these young Makua engaged in this activity, and how can they themselves become engaged and support? And so the global community is looking and seeing how our people react to this attention. And I feel in my heart that these representatives who have stepped forward to represent the Hawaiian Nation are doing an excellent job. I wanted to share a little bit about what the name of this show means. You know, when Nanti Nani asked me to do this show, I've been away for quite a while. I haven't really had the opportunity to prepare much. And being that this is an hour-long show, I'm hoping that maybe someone will want to give us a call. You can reach us at 826-7774. That's the office number if you want to share any information with Dove. He's out there for the next, who knows, 10, 15 minutes or so. Our request line is 826-7771. And if you're off island, you can reach us at 866-275-1112. And so when Auntie Nani asked me to do her show, which I don't know, maybe I was the only person who said yes and was available, I took it kind of seriously, and I really wanted to present something. And unfortunately, you know, I've been really busy being away on Mauna Kea myself for the 10 days and coming back home and immediately having to jump into this retreat that I was a part of on Koke'e. So I went from one end of the chain, from one mountain peak to the other. And over the last 3 weeks, it's been kind of overwhelming. So I wanted to see what it was that defines living sovereign. So I spent a little time doing that. And I got a caller on the air, so we're going to talk a little bit about what the definitions are and how the definitions of living sovereign manifests in its life, in your life, and how and what it really means to, if it's a real reality that can exist or not. Caller, you're on the air. Aloha.
You know, Donovan, you know, it's so wonderful to hear young Hawaiians like you talking about this stuff. You're so articulate and bright and really, really sincere when you talk about aloha and love and harmony. And I'm Hawaii is fortunate to have young people like you that are willing to put up the struggle for your cause. And I'm proud of you anyways. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I can't take the credit for what's going on right now in our nation. The work that we are doing now, what's happening on Mauna Kea, the viral global effect, which I liken to is infectious. The folks who come around this thing can't help but to feel the energy of what's going on here and be affected by the strength and the mana of the activists or the active individuals who are engaging in protecting the mountain. Their action is just one more layer to many actions that have been going on for 200 years. And you know, a lot of folks will tell you that the movement is something that was sparked in the 70s, but if you are aware of how the independence of Hawaii has existed, you'll know that for a long time there have been people talking and working to bring attention to this cause. We got another caller on air. I'd love to hear what you got to say. Caller, go ahead. You're live.
Okay, I thank you ever so much.
Could I get you to please, before you continue, turn your stereo down? We're getting quite a bit of echo from
you. I'll just walk away from the darn thing.
Excellent.
I wonder if our host can elaborate on, and I've had conversations with this with other people, on the quote-unquote indigenous people,
mm-hmm.
how they got here. What happened in some of the Western Pacific Islands 2,000 years ago, ballparkish? And if he can just talk a little story about that.
Yeah, I'd love to talk a little story about that. There's a lot of different ideas and notions about. You want to have an opportunity to respond to what I'm about to say on air and hold on, or do you want
to? I don't have to, but if you can relate my question, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'll do that for you. And I'm going to let you go from the phone line because we're going to try and keep it open should Auntie Nani make a call to us.
For sure. I understand that.
All right. Thank you for tuning in, okay?
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha. So our caller was asking an origin question. Where do the quote-unquote indigenous people of Hawaii come from? And I'm not an expert on the topic, though I do have a little insight about that, and I'd be happy to share a little bit of what I know. Popular belief, two migrations coming up from the South Pacific, one from Marquesas and then the second from Tahiti, both happening sometime between 2,000 to 1,500 years ago. And then there is an indigenous or another popular belief that Hawaii is part of a larger prehistoric continent that broke up. Different words I've heard refer to the existence of this super mega continent, Pangaea, or even moo. And so popular theory amongst many of the indigenous people that I've associated with or spoken to and had the opportunity to share information with, this is mo'olelo that's not written, mo'olelo being stories that are handed down from generation to generation, talk of the existence of people who were here in Hawaii when the migrations happened. I know I, for one, am one of the people who can trace his own lineage to the Tahitian migration. And we know that the Tahitians encountered people who were already here. And we kind of know that the Marquesans were also a witness to people who were here as well. And so through the record that exists from the Tahitian migration, we know that the name Menehune holds connotations of lesser people with less mana or not royal connections or not godly connections. When the Tahitians, most of the Tahitians that migrated from the South Pacific, from Tahiti to Hawaii at the time, only a certain elite class of servant and ruler were allowed to get on those canoes. You had to be hardy, fit, healthy. You had to have a certain lineal descent, which allowed you to be in the same space with the royalty who were upon those canoes. A lot of the families that came from Tahiti were considered to be very high mana at the time. And so anybody that they considered not of the high blood that the Tahitians who were migrating here were of was considered to be manahune, which is a Tahitian word which means without mana. And so mana in the Tahitian concept meant life spirit or godly connection or godly spirit. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what I can tell you about the origins of the indigenous people. Today, that translates to us as who the people who claim to have a connection to the indigenous culture. We recognize that our race, for the lack of better words, is essentially a dead race. The purity of our bloodlines have been tainted and snuffed due to foreign diseases and foreign concepts that are in opposition to the Hawaiian methodology and the Hawaiian philosophy. Circumstances which have yet to extinguish our existence or our knowledge. Many of us who claim to be connected to the indigenous culture recognize that we are of a mixed race. Many of us identify with many of the different races, but we have the unique pleasure of being brought up and raised here in Hawaii, and so we most connect to and identify with strongly, most strongly, the Hawaiian culture. We have a call. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Donovan. It's Shaila.
Hi, Shaila. Aloha.
What's up?
How are you?
I got an announcement. We're talking about indigenous, keeping it local, state, and to the native rights. So I got something really big to put on the air here.
Well, we'd love to hear what you got to say.
The Hawaiian Islands Humpback Whale National Marine Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. There's a meeting going on tonight, right?
Yes, there's some hearings going on.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a meeting in Kilauea from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Kilauea Elementary School Cafeteria, and I'd love for the Hawaiian people to really get involved with this. This is a federal agency. It is here. They have some proposals that are very interesting, and I'd love for people to get more involved and get those testimonies out.
Could you share a little bit more about what exactly the Marine Sanctuary, Humpback Whale Marine Sanctuary proposal that the, who this federal agency is and what their proposal is? What can you share with us about that?
Let me get my papers.
Aye.
Yeah. So I can go like one by one. The management plan review.
Well, let's start with who is this federal agency that's called this meeting.
They are established in the state of Hawaii. They have an office here on Kauai, and they are I guess, managers of our marine sanctuary, that's the Humpback Whales Marine Sanctuary on the east side of Kauai and throughout the state of Hawaii.
Interesting. Do they have a name?
I think that's their name. I don't know.
Humpback Whale Marine Sanctuary, something along those lines. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what says on the very top of their form here.
Okay.
So that must be their name. Maybe they're changing them later.
I see.
But there's some extensions in the state of Hawaii. The Kauai areas are very interesting. They're extending the sanctuary to include all of Haena Ahapua'a, which is, I don't live on that side. I don't know exactly how that's going to affect people. They're not saying how it's going to affect them, and they're not promising us that it will not include fisheries. When there's a 450-page document here, and I'm looking at it, and fisheries is mentioned so many times. So that alarms me. The extension of the sanctuary up to Hanalei River. There's going to be a multi-species sanctuary proposal, from a single species to a multi-species. And, you know, it doesn't say here how this is ever going to, this is ever going to improve or give any powers to Native Hawaiians.
Well, one of the things regarding what you're talking about, the new classifications that they're going to be applying to the fisheries in Hawaii, there's no specification as to what species are going to be able to, or going to be included in the protection of, in these marine sanctuaries. And so, is it encompass? My question is it encompassing all marine life within the sanctuary, or do they have a specific list? One of the other things that I find very interesting is that they, this, the if you look at the footprint of this marine sanctuary, it it almost exactly overlays the area that the Pacific Command has laid out for its war game activities.
Yes, that is true. Niihau, let's talk about that hot topic. Niihau on the west side here, we're looking at a 3-mile radius from shore, a proposed sanctuary area around their island. Considering his history throughout the decades of trying to get rid of the fish, which is all public information. It's on the newspapers. This is not misinformation. I'm not spreading any rumors here.
Okay.
I'm looking at the map that they're proposing. It says 3 miles around their island. I'm concerned of the Hawaiians that live there.
Shayla, can you hang on 1 second?
Sure.
I got another caller on the other line, and we want to give this other caller a chance to chime in real quick. Just stay with us. You're on the line as well. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Donovan, it's Victoria. How's it?
Aloha, Victoria. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So it's NOAA, the committee.
NOAA. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's NOAA. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's NOAA. And everybody should go to the Kilauea cafeteria right now. It's starting right now.
Yes.
And the big thing about sanctuaries, if you envision our sanctuary, it's bird sanctuary, per se, on the North Shore. We can go there. We can go down specific paths, but you cannot roam the lands at the sanctuary anymore. Once it is federal government, once it's DLNR, once it's NOAA permissioned, the people will not be permissioned to be, only accept specific areas. And they're saying that, oh, no, it's not inclusive of not having people there right now. But you better believe that in the present or near future, it's going to be cordoned off. Just like there are all the fences around the sanctuary, the bird sanctuary. Yeah, they're protecting the birds, but what about protecting the people?
Well, and then the whole idea of restricting access to resources that are available and traditional, you know, that's another problem that we face. One of the things I want to point out real quick, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people are asking about, why Haena? And I'll have to say, from what I've observed, Haena, the community out in Haena, have been the most receptive so far to engage with NOAA and work with them to get management methods implemented into the entire process when these changes occur and happen. And what I've seen, what I can say, bearing witness, personal witness, is that the Hyena community have been most active in being, making sure that there's somebody at the table and being a community who is open to communicate with the powers that be for the time being. And I don't, you know, I'll have to go on record and say that I may not and don't necessarily 100% endorse and condone any of the activity that's happening through the state and the Department of Land and Natural Resources or NOAA, but I do encourage community engagement and active community participation, because that is the only method by which we can actively encourage and steer the ship or be a part of what direction this ship is being sailed in.
Yeah. Can I put a note in for the, it's called the Community-Based Subsistence Fishing Area.
Mm-hmm.
Their president, Presley Wan, and all their members have worked really hard throughout the decade, really working hard, trying to focus on community-based management.
Mm-hmm.
My concern for them, I hope they're listening, is that you keep this local and you keep this state and county.
Mm.
Indigenous state and county, always. Never let the federal government, which is NOAA, oversee this, because it will never come back. Once it goes federal, it never comes back to you. Those 13 families will lose everything. They lose everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And I see that. I'm looking at Hyena, and I'm really worried for them. I don't live that side, but
well, and you know, if anybody
protect your rights, you know,
yeah, absolutely. And
if you also consider that the United States government overtook these islands, then you can just imagine what they want to do to our oceans now. I mean, that's another part of it. You know?
Well, they've been doing horrible things to the water and the ocean around Hawaii for a long, long time.
If they're not conscious and don't become aware and don't rise up and say no, they're going to just pass those bills. And once they're federally passed, like she said, it can't come back. We can't have it back in our hands. We still have the oceans in our hands now. So it's super important to make everybody conscious and raise our hands to say no if it's something that's going to be not for the people.
All right. Well, I'm going to take this moment to do a station identification. Ladies, please hang on to the line for just a moment. We will continue this conversation. Everybody who's tuned in, you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Mixed Plate Monday, and you've got it tuned into Living Sovereign, Auntie Nani's show that she does every other week or so. And this is the voice of Donovan Kanani Kabibi, sitting in the hot seat, filling in the space and place for Auntie Nani. Mahalo for tuning in, and mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We're talking about the fisheries. We're talking about Mauna Kea and how the action that's going on up there has really sparked a level of action amongst the Native Hawaiian community unlike we've seen for quite some time, and that how the action that's going on Mauna Kea is just another action that has added to the fire that already exists, which is overwhelming the world as we speak here. Right now, the conversation is leaning towards our fisheries and how the marine life is being managed here in Hawaii. Shayla's on the line, and Victoria's joining us as well. Aloha, ladies. Thank you for calling in and lending your insight to the situation.
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So anything else you guys want? You know, Auntie Nani's scheduled to come in. We've got about 20 minutes to go before this show ends. And one more time, Shayla, if you could let us know where the meeting is and what time it's going on.
Today's meeting is right now, just like Vivian said.
Mm-hmm.
It's Monday, May 4th, right now, 5:30 to 8 o'clock tonight, Kilauea Elementary School cafeteria. Everyone must know that they have 3 minutes to testify to NOAA, and if you could keep it as brief as possible, more people can comment and testify in person, and it's recorded by law. They have to post it somewhere.
NOAA's taking testimony.
This is a hearing,
right? And what you share at this meeting will go on record. And from the information that I have, Noah will be taking testimony, written testimony, through June 10th or 14th. It'd be better if you went as fast as possible if you have a burning desire to lend your mana'o or your insight to these new proposals that are coming at us. Anything else from our other caller on the line here?
Just to say how important it is for all of us to show up. I'm in Kilauea now. As soon as I get off the phone with you folks, I'm headed over to the cafeteria.
Mahalo.
At all ages, from as soon as you can speak, little babies can get up there and talk. All of us, no matter if we're 3 or 103, let's have our voices heard before it's too late.
Absolutely.
Aloha. Before it's too late.
Thank
and
you.
And also, there's two more meetings. Tomorrow is Waimea Canyon Middle School cafeteria. Same time. 5:30 to 8:00. Wednesday, it's up in Hanamalu, King Kaumali'i Elementary School. 8:00 to 8:00. Let's show up at these meetings.
All right. One more time, Sheila, the meetings that are coming up in the next couple of days.
Tuesday, tomorrow, 5:30 to 8:00 p.m., Waimea Canyon Middle School. That's the most important. Ni'ihau, people.
Yeah.
Wednesday, May 6th, 5:30 to 8:00 p.m., King Kaumali'i Elementary School in Honolulu.
All right. One of the things that I find really concerning regarding this issue is the appointment of the new head of DLNR.
Ooh.
We're talking about Miss Case, whose predecessor was Will Isla. And this woman is in charge of all of the activity that goes on with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And the reason why I say this is kind of a concern to me is because she comes over to us from the Nature Conservancy. And upon further review of the activity of the Nature Conservancy, nice little name, nice little connotation that goes along with the name, we see that the lands that they have perpetually engaged in protecting have become hot source topics for many of the indigenous cultures around the perceived country, and we see that a lot of restrictions come along with the activity that the Nature Conservancy has engaged in when it comes to protecting wildlife and wildlife environment. You know, one of the major concerns as indigenous people, one of the major concerns as Kanaka Maoli here in Hawaii is that our natural resources and our wisdom as to how the natural flow and relationship of the environment affects all of us be something that is a part of the decision-making processes. And basically what the kind of actions that we see going on right now in Hawaii don't really lend to the influence of our Kanaka Maoli wisdom being a part of that. We've had to fight, scratch, tooth and nail at every step just to be able to get an opportunity to speak for 3 minutes. You want to share anything that you know about this new appointed person in the hot seat at DLNR?
Well, I met her. I shook hands with her and informed her that I'd be more interested in having her be more of a part of the community, and especially with this sanctuary. I'm very concerned. My concern is that Nature Conservancy, their history in Hawaii, they buy land and then they reserve it and hunters can't hunt in it. And how does that support us as a community to feed ourselves?
Well, yeah, and then
our food supply.
And then the access that's denied only encourages the wild dispersion of invasive species and the proliferation of those species rather than the control of those species and the promotion of the natural wildlife that should be here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of concerns for a lot of folks regarding this topic in our fisheries, and I really hope the community steps up and gets involved here and makes their voice heard like never done before. And you know, it's a positive thing that I look forward to seeing the attention and energy that's being given in other places and with other concerns being given to the natural resources here in Hawaii.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your phone call, and malama pono, aloha.
Bye.
I'm really glad that Sheila called in because I recognize her as being a very active person when it comes to this these issues, you know, this particular issue. I've witnessed her efforts and the energy that she puts into educating our community about the different actions that our state is engaging in the different state organizations. You like that? I'm sorry. Sometimes I can't help my sarcasm. I know it's not very kapu aloha, but yeah. One of the great things about kapu aloha is, you know, if you fail at some point, it's all on you. The severity of your transgression falls upon you. And any consequences that you cause because of your transgression, you got to pay for it, you know. But again, there's an upside. You get to start all over again and try again. Because the nature of kapu aloha doesn't smother that ability. We're going to promote the ability for you to get up, dust yourself off, try again, and be a functioning member of our society and our community. All right, so if you guys love jazz music, you should stick around, because coming up next after Living Sovereign is Can You Dig It Jazz Show. It's going to be an awesome deal, and we're looking forward to hearing that stuff. I do enjoy jazz music from time to time. We got another caller on the line. I'm going to take that call because that's what I'm here to do, I guess. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. Oh, right on. This is Makani Christensen.
Hey, Makani, how's it?
Oh, good. Hey, I just heard Shana talk, and we worked together, and she's solid.
Yes.
And, you know, this whale sanctuary thing is super, super important, because if you don't think it affects you now, it will. I promise. When it first started, you know, there were only supposed to be single species just taking care of the whales.
Well, that's why it's called the humpback whale sanctuary.
Yeah. And that's all they were supposed to be taking care of. And all of a sudden, they're going to ecosystem. And what's an ecosystem? Everything.
Exactly.
So this is a huge, huge topic.
That's my point.
Yeah. Because remember, Northwest Hawaiian Islands, which is close to you guys, like right across the street.
Right.
Is, we can't even go into those areas. Native Hawaiians can't even go into those areas.
Yeah, and our historical footprint is all over those islands.
It is, 100%. And honestly, we used to have a ton of fishermen. Fishing up there, gathering, and now, you know, we have to go through a permitting process that doesn't even exist, basically. There is a permitting process, but there hasn't been one person that got a permit yet. So that's pretty interesting.
Where do you need to go to get a permit to go fish in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands?
Well, you know, I don't even know. I think there's a website you go to.
Right, and that would be through NOAA or the DLNR?
Yeah, through NOAA. I think there's a whole different website for it. And, you know, I think it was the Western Pacific Fisheries Council. They applied for a permit and have, to this day, for the last 3 years, not gotten one for Native Hawaiians.
Do you know what the request of this permit is?
Go up there, fish, and bring fish back.
I see.
So right now you can currently go up there.
Would that harvest be for commercial use, or is that for a community use?
So right now, if you get a permit, if you even get a permit, you have to go up there, catch fish, and not come back with any fish at all. So you kind of give it to your family or anything.
Oh, it goes, where does it go?
You have to eat it before you get back.
Oh my goodness. That's the restrictions connected to the permit?
Yeah.
So if I like fish and I get this permit, if I get this permit, and I'm allowed to go fish by the state agency who's overseeing these, the issuance of these permits. The permit states that I cannot bring any of the fish back with me. I have to eat it or dump it.
Yes.
Wow.
And imagine that. So the federal government is coming into state waters now. How
yeah.
hard would it be to get a permit?
Yeah.
Right now, currently, in the proposal, the rule proposal, 11C, everybody can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It states, if you want to do a burial at sea with ashes, you have to apply for a permit, which is super difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you have to have general liability insurance.
Mm-hmm. And you have to report the location.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, these guys have been promising us, yeah, we won't come to fishing, we won't do this, we won't do that, yet everything they're doing right now is just exactly the opposite of what they originally
said. They say they're not going to do it, but yet every step takes them closer to doing it.
Yes, sir.
And we see this habitual pattern with the federal government and its acquisition of lands and resources and its exertion of its power and authority over the people and the land and natural resources all over the place. And it's a direct conflict of my views and many others of what government is and should be.
Yes, and then now you look at the next step. Remember you talked about Susan Case.
Mm.
Okay, so Chapter 91, rulemaking. So rulemaking, if they get in, they do their thing, they can make rules with the state government to change all the rules, make it for what they want to do.
Yeah, basically the proposal gives them free rein to change the rules at their discretion any time they want to.
That's correct. And Susan Case and Nature Conservancy has been against, and I can testify this to the T, because I've been there every single time something came up that affected fishermen. She, Mike Fox, and all those guys were opposed to everything we had to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've seen it, and I've witnessed it, and what she's doing, and hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully we can control it. But right now it's kind of like, I don't know. It's rough. It really
is
rough.
Well, I see it as a continued assault on home rule. I see it
yes.
as a continuous assault on indigenous cultures.
Yep.
And I see it as a continuous assault on individual sovereignty.
Yeah. And you know what? She was responsible. Because I work with the guys on Big Island. She was responsible for all the killing of all the animals, the cows, the mouflon,
the rats,
just a ton of animals,
yep.
like thousands and thousands of pounds.
Yep. And instead of those animals being harvested and distributed to the general population after being inspected for its general health and purity, it was just left to rot.
It was, bro. It was put into caves, into small little pukas in a ground.
Yeah, they collected it up and they just tossed it in whatever divot in the earth that they happened to come across along their walk.
And they killed it with helicopters.
Yeah, they were shooting them. I remember that program was in effect for quite a while. And they've also been contracting with another company who has a nice cherry bright name that uses the word conservancy in it.
Yeah.
To drop rat pellets on all of the open spaces on these uninhabited islands. I like the way that they refer to these islands up north as uninhabited, but yet they're telling us, oh, there's rat population that we got to kill, and so we're going to drop all this rat poison all over the entire island and not give any consideration as to where that rat pellet watersheds to or degrades to, you know.
And you remember when Kamehameha said, let the pee-pee go up in and grow?
Mm-hmm.
Kamehameha, back in the day.
Well, I don't remember that happening, but I do know the story and understand what you're saying.
But
he
had the concept of feeding the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what? let the cows go. Let them grow for the next 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we can harvest them
mm-hmm.
and feed all the people here.
Yeah, I find it amazing that one of the very first acts that Kamehameha committed after unification was to disband his armies and commit all of them to farming and promoting farming. And that act alone is what allowed the observers who visited Hawaii at the time of discovery to recognize Hawaii's food production as unmatched to any other population on the planet. I appreciate your call. We are unfortunately coming up to the very end of our show. Is there any last comment you want to make before I let you go?
You know what? You know, all of us guys, we fish, we farm, we hunt, and all of it goes to producing food for the people of Hawaii. And that's super important. We cannot forget about the producers that produce food for our sustenance. So, I guess that's my last comment. I don't have anything else. I appreciate you allowing me to be on the show, and that's all I got.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. And malama pono.
All right, you guys. Aloha.
Aloha ahui ho. All right, malama pono ahui ho. This has been Living Sovereign with yours truly, Donovan Kanani Kabibi. What's it called again? It's called... Can You Dig It Jazz? That's coming up next. Brother Rich is wandering around here with boxes and boxes of CDs, and I know you're going to be greatly entertained. I'd love to take a call, but unfortunately we've come to the end of our show, and I just want to go, before I go, give you these two definitions. The adjective of living is having life, being alive, not dead, in actual existence or use, extent, active or thriving, vigorous, strong, burning or glowing as a coal, flowing freely as water, pertaining to, suitable for, or sufficient for existence or substance of a relating in living person as a noun, the act or condition of a person or thing that lives, the means of maintaining life, livelihood, a particular manner, state, or status of life. Living. Sovereign. A monarch, king, queen, or other supreme ruler, a person who has supreme power or authority, a group of body of persons, or a state having sovereign authority. A gold coin of the United Kingdom equal to £1 went out of circulation in 1914. Hey, imagine that. Belonging to, an adjective, belonging to or characteristic of a sovereign or sovereign authority, royal, having supreme rank, power, or authority, supreme, preeminent, indisputable. Greatest in degree, utmost or extreme, being above all others in character, importance, excellence, etc., efficacious and potent. That is your definition of sovereign. Ladies and gentlemen, I leave you with that. Live sovereign. Mahalo ke akua, aloha ke akua. Mahalo for listening to KKCR, KAQA, Kilauea, K224, CQ, Anahola, K284AL. Haleiwa. This is Kauai Community Radio. I'm Donovan Kanani Kabibi. Stick around for Can You Dig It Jazz with Brett Rich. Aloha.
Silence belong to